I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 46. Praise the Lord that we can sing songs, we can memorize songs, such as Psalm 4, and then we can study songs, divinely inspired songs that we have for us. As you know, last week we began a 3-week series on this, the 46th Psalm, calling it the Song of Holy Confidence. And I remind you, this is an old hymn, an ancient hymn, written by the people of God, for the people of God, in exaltation of God, and has been sung by His people for hundreds and hundreds of years. And this song can be your song tonight. And it can be your song, particularly this week, as you struggle through and deal with certain things that come about in your particular life. If you were not here with us for whatever reason last week, I do want to just briefly remind you of a couple of things as we launch out further into this particular song of holy confidence. We learned last week that the theme of Psalm 46 is having holy confidence in our God during unstable times. During those difficult times in your life, the tension-filled times, the pressures, the stress, the turbulence, the confusion time in your life, you can have a holy confidence, not in your ability or in your experience or in your wisdom, but you can have a holy confidence in your God. And that is what the theme of Psalm 46 is all about. Well, we discussed also last week the time in which most likely this psalm was written. I am not going to rehearse all that we looked at last week. If you were unable to be here with us, I encourage you to get last week's message, perhaps download it at your own convenience, so that you may listen to it to get the full understanding and the background of this psalm. But I do encourage you to read 2 Chronicles 32 or Isaiah 36 and 37, and you will get the miraculous, astounding story of the violent and vile Assyrians who have come and now camping on the doorstep of Jerusalem, 185,000 of these men, ready to besiege the city, to invade the city, to ravage the people of God and their families. And King Hezekiah and the people of God cry out to Jehovah and say, deliver us. And in one night, God sends a destroying angel, and 185,000 soldiers, officers, and commanders are slaughtered. And there is great rejoicing in the city as God has rescued His people and delivered them once again. But that is most likely, we believe, when this song was written. There are some indications throughout the song. In fact, we're going to look at one of those tonight that points to possibly that this was when it was written. But before we launch into verses 4 to 7 tonight, I wanted to give us again the text of the psalm, the overview of it. I remind you again, if you look at the end of verse 3, verse 7, and verse 11, it all ends with the same word. It is that little word, Selah. Now, we are not entirely sure what it means, but most likely people have come to this conclusion that Selah means stop, pause, maybe a musical interlude is being played. It's a chance for you to think upon what you just sang. And obviously it would appear then to me that this song is divided up into three stanzas. We looked at and considered stanza 1 last week, verses 1 through 3. Lord willing, if God gives us the ability, we will look at the second stanza tonight. Now the first stanza exhorts us to rest in the stabilizing peace of God. Well, the second stanza calls us to rejoice in the surrounding presence of God. And then, Lord willing, 2 weeks from tonight, we will finish up our study on this song of holy confidence by looking at the third stanza, which directs us to realize the supernatural power of God. But tonight, I would direct your attention to stanza 2 of the song of holy confidence. Would you follow along in your scripture? There is a river. the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. The second stanza calls us to rejoice in the surrounding presence of God. Life brings change. Changes in your family. Changes at your work. Changes in your health. Changes in your body. Changes in your children's education. Changes in your children's health. Changes even in your church. As next week we, as a church body, family, say farewell to our pastor as he follows the call of God. But with the changes that happen in life, both good and bad, and particularly the bad changes, can leave you and your family as feeling isolated, or feeling that you are vulnerable, or feeling that you are all alone. Kind of like a little 6-year-old boy that I saw in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada this last summer on our missions trip, who was apart from his mother, and he felt all alone. As I came down off the platform after dismissing, we had 100 people with the children and the adults who were working, the teenagers who were helping, that as they were dismissing to all their classes, surrounded by more than 100 people, this little 6-year-old boy, first day at VBS, he had been dropped off by his mother. He stood in the very front row and he had big tears forming in his eyes. And he looked up at me with a tremor in his voice and he said, "What am I supposed to do?" Well, that was an easy fix for a 6-year-old boy. "Your class is right here, buddy. You'll be fine right here." And then he was fine. But in a moment of isolation, surrounded by people, he felt alone. Easy fix for a 6-year-old. Sometimes it's not so easy a fix for a 46-year-old who is dealing with the stress and pressures of life. Or whatever your age might be, wherever your station is in life, to where you get to the point that you feel so besieged, you feel so attacked, and you feel isolated with you and your family. The second stanza of Psalm 46 tells us you are not on your own. For you are always surrounded by the presence of your God. It calls us to rejoice in His surrounding presence. This stanza tells us that according to God's own good pleasure, He has chosen to live right in the middle of your life. He exists right in the middle of your life. He is acting right in the middle of your life. In Jesus Christ, you are never alone. So instead of griping this week, instead of worrying, instead of pouting, instead of quitting, you can rejoice in His presence. And as last week we saw two pictures of God in the first stanza, so we see two pictures of God in the second stanza that relate to His presence and the joy and gladness it gives us in the midst of unstable times. The first picture of God that we see is in verses 4 and 5. We notice that God is my inner calm. Oh, outwardly it is raging. Outwardly it is chaotic. But on the inside, I am calm. Because my God has chosen to surround me with Himself. We are given a picture here, number one, of a serene city. Would you look at that? There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Here we have a picture of Jerusalem. At peace with a gently flowing river. Who is camped at their doorstep? the Assyrians, ready to ravage their families, ready to deport hundreds of people, ready to slaughter. But on the inside of the city, there is peace. There is calm. There is, as we will see here in a minute, gladness and joy. Often, Jerusalem is referred to in Zion in Scripture. Therefore, it has become known as the city where God was. The city where God tabernacled amongst His people. The city where God dwelt. Where He lived and He revealed Himself to His people. Now, this river that is talked about is not a literal river. It's not an actual river. It is a metaphor for the spirit of God's people who are protected and surrounded by God's presence. This river is an image of peace, of happiness, of calm, of serenity, and of joy. And if you notice, many streams and channels are branching off this river of serenity, and it is flowing by every door of every home in the city of Jerusalem. Every heart of every home of God's people is at peace. Resulting in, if you notice, shall make glad the city of God. Resulting in gladness and joy. The raging Assyrians, the joyful people of God. How could they be filled with joy and gladness and at such peace during this unstable, scary time? Look at verse 5. God is in the midst of her. God is in the midst of the city. She shall not be moved. She shall not be agitated. God's people will not be fearful. Why? Because He is there. Because God is living right in the middle of the city. Every home, every heart. Dad, husband, let me ask you a question. You claim to be a Christian. Your family is in Christ. Is your home a place of gladness and joy? Particularly when pressures mount, is it still a place of gladness and joy? Mom, wife, is your marriage a place of serenity and peace when the pressures mount and times are scary? You see, with God in the midst of your family, this river of peace and gladness and joy should touch every home in here. And every heart in your home. But so often in our homes and in our hearts, there is tension and there is strife and there is fear and there is worry. Why is that? Your thoughts are on the Assyrians. Your thoughts are on the economy of the United States. Your thoughts are on your financial instability. Your thoughts are on the struggles in your marriage. Your thoughts are on the struggles of your family. Your thoughts are on the problems. You are dwelling upon that which is besieging you instead of dwelling upon the one in whom you dwell, Jesus Christ. You see, where God is, there should be no agitation. Where God is, there should be no instability. Where God is, there should be no loneliness, because you are surrounded by the one who has, according to His good pleasure, chosen to tabernacle right in the middle of your existence. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. You cannot get away from Him. You are surrounded by Him. And when you experience prolonged moments of fear, worry, anger, and instability, it is because you are dwelling upon the storm that is crashing into you and taking your eyes off the master of the tempest who is walking on that storm. Oh, You should keep your joy, your peace, and your hope anchored in Jesus Christ. Because with Jesus comes joy. Jesus said Himself in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in Me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So how's your heart? How's your home? Fearful? Anxious? Wringing of hands? Sleepless nights? My dear friend, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Why? Because God is in the midst of your family. Focus upon Him with this joyful assurance that God is everything that you need. We continue the thought process in verse 5. This serene city places within each one of our hearts a sure confidence. Because, verse number 5, God is in the midst of her and she shall not be moved. Look at the next phrase, God shall help her. And that right early. When you are confused or besieged or attacked or you feel isolated or you feel alone, He is right there to help. Do you remember last week in stanza 1? He is a very present help. Abundantly available for help. And then it says He is ready to help her and that right early. What does this phrase right early mean? Well, this literally means at the turning of the morning. Or when the day dawns. God shall help her at the dawning of the day. When the day dawns. At the turning of the morning. This is one of those indications that this could have been written during the besieging of the city of Jerusalem by the Assyrians. This may be this allusion to Isaiah 37:36. Would you look at this? "Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they," that is Israel or Judah, "arose early in the morning, behold, they," Assyria, "were all dead corpses." Look back at that verse again. When they arose early in the morning, at the dawning of the day, at the turn of the morning, right early, they saw the deliverance of God. God's people went to bed that night with fear, but they awoke in the morning with courage. They went to bed that night in defeat, but they awoke in the morning in victory. They went to bed that night with questions, but they awoke in the morning with answers. Many of them went to bed with tears that night, but they awoke with joy when they saw what God had done and how God had come through. It's as David wrote earlier in Psalm 30, verse 5, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." My friend, when you struggle at night and you cannot fall asleep and your mind is worried and agitated and you feel isolated with the concerns and burdens of life, remember this: as a Christian in Jesus Christ, you have a bright tomorrow. Jesus is still alive and He is living right in the middle of your life. The problem may not be gone the very next morning, but there is a morning coming when weeping will end and you can rest at night because you are going into the future in the arms of the One who has already been there. You can have a sure confidence. This is the song of holy confidence for God's people. Oh, the stark contrast that is presented. The agitation of the Assyrians and the serenity of God's people. We see the first picture in this second stanza that God is my inner calm. But in verses 6 and 7, we learn that God is my invincible captain. I can be at peace. I can be at calm because I know who my captain is. The one who is living in the middle of your life can never be defeated. Everything bows before Him. In verse 6, we see a very serious catastrophe. The Bible says, the heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. The heathen is a reference to the unbelievers, the lost, the other nations, perhaps, that had been attacked by Assyria. These other nations were raging with agitation. They were raging with fear and raging with terror because Assyria was invading them and crushing them and killing them, dismembering, impaling, and ravaging. And we talked all about that last week. They were raging on the inside. And then it says the kingdoms were moved. These nations that had been defeated by Assyria had been violently changed. They were no longer autonomous. The indication is that those who are apart from Jehovah, apart from God, have no peace. Why? Because in the midst of the attacks, Jehovah was not with them. Therefore, they would rage in fear. Isaiah 48:22, we learn, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Please do not sit here when the pressures mount and the weights weigh down upon you and you think, if I just quit, life would be easier. If I just stopped trying to live right and to please God, my life would get better, because the harder I try to do right, the more problems happen in my life. It just seems easier to not do it. Don't believe that lie. The truth is, when trouble arises for the lost man, they have no loving God with them. They have no peace. They have no joy. They have no serenity. They have no security because they have no God. But contrast that with God's people. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Expect to experience bad things in your life. This world is full of sin. It's a sin-cursed world. This is not a fun place to live sometimes. And it may not be fun at all for you right now. But never forget that you have an invincible captain who is living in you, who provides stability and joy just by His very presence. The lost man will rage and be moved. The saved man, he never needs to rage because he knows he will not be moved. So, are you raging in your heart tonight over some issue that you are dealing with right now? Are you raging in your life for something that happened years ago? My dear friend, if you are raging, how that must grieve the heart of your Heavenly Father. Because it shows an abhorrent ignorance on our part for who belongs to us, for who we have, who is living in the middle of our life. We ought to be embarrassed and shamed when we rage in anger and fear. We do not know God. We think we know God. We have an experience in life, but we don't know God. If you and I know God, there will be no raging in the heart. So I ask you, are you raging over something that is wicked sin you need to repent of? Come to your God tonight and say, oh God, calm the raging storm. Give guidance. Give direction. But do not let me rage, for I have you. We see the second part of verse number 6. this serious catastrophe is met by a spoken command. He, that is reference to God, He uttered His voice. The earth melted. The invincible captain uttered one word. He spoke, and the raging storm calmed. The earth, with all of its commotion, melts away. You have a God living in the middle of your life and in your family who with one word can alter your situation if He so chooses. You know, we've heard the story of the calming of the storm on the Sea of Galilee so often, we sometimes forget the significance of that. We read in Matthew 8, "Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But He was asleep, peaceful, calm. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, 'Lord, save us! We perish!' And He said unto them, 'Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?' Then He arose, rebuked the winds and the sea." That's pretty cool. "And there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, 'What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him?'" We say, big deal. Jesus calmed the sea and the wind. Okay, the next time it's raining this week and it's storming, you step outside and you tell it to stop and see what happens. You have no power to alter your situation. But you have the God who with one word can change nature if He wanted to. You have the God who with one word can change your job. With one word, God could change your debt. With one word, God can change your child. With one word, God can change your marriage. You say, then why hasn't He done it? Well, He's got a purpose right now for that weight on your life. And I don't pretend to know what it is. And you may not know what it is. But there is always a purpose for the weights that God places upon us. It is to cause us to get to the point where we finally acknowledge underneath the weight, "Lord, I need You. I have tried to solve the problems apart from You. But I need You." You have Him living right in the middle of your life. As we look at verse number 7, we will see this stanza closes off with an indication and a reminder of our strong commander. In fact, this is the exact same verse that we'll find at the end of the last stanza. But it says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." It's our fortress. We talked about that last week. The Lord of hosts. Do you know what this title means? Jehovah of hosts. This is a very clear reference to the God who is in control of heaven's armies. But not only that, He is in charge of earth's armies as well. He is the Lord of all the hosts. The Lord of all the armies. He is the strong commander. He is the ultimate commander-in-chief. And He lives right in the middle of your life. There is nothing, nothing, nothing in this world that should cause alarm if He is living in you. Nothing should terrify or unsettle you. He can change your situation in a moment, for He is with you. Isaiah 26:3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee." Say, "I'm not in perfect peace tonight," then your mind's not in God. "Well, I've tried God." No, no. You quit on God. Go back to God. You want perfect peace. You want joy and gladness in your home. Your kids want joy and gladness in your home, mom and dad. Then go back again to your Heavenly Father and start rejoicing in the reality that He is right there in the middle of your existence. And He is acting in your life. We come to that last word, Selah. Let us pause tonight. Let us pause this week. And let us consider how God is an inward calm because He is an invincible captain. Heavenly Father, I know that nothing that we considered tonight is new or novel, nor does it have to be. You haven't changed. Your methods for dealing with our stress and pain have not changed. We get tired with trying to do things your way, and we turn away from you. Oh God, forgive us. Forgive us for the raging in our hearts. Forgive us for the smart responses we give about how God is not helping us. Forgive us for our lack of knowledge of You. Forgive us for our sinful ignorance of You. And oh God, may we rest in Your stabilizing peace and rejoice in Your surrounding presence this very night and week. May our homes be filled with joy and gladness because of You. In the name of our Savior, who made this all possible by the shedding of His perfect blood on the tree. Amen.